Hey, it's a cold open. This is part two of a two-part podcast with comedian Ian Carmel of The Late Late Show. In part one, we discussed the Portland Trailblazers, we discussed the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant, and how they could be a boring 70-win team, and what it means for individual players, and all kinds of stuff, and some fun comedy stuff thrown in. In this one, we've got some Olympic talk, some Carmelo Anthony talk, trips overseas, and more comedy hopefully thrown in. So please listen to part one, enjoy part two, and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever review platform you have. 5 stars would be great. 4 stars is appreciated. 3 stars or lower, please don't do that. Thanks.
Yeah, so the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
You like the Olympics, right?
I love the Olympics, mostly because it allows me to buy red, white, and blue sneakers.
Okay.
I've already bought 2 pairs. I bought the Barclays, those like 180 Air Forces, and then I got the Jordan 7 Olympic Edition too, which is a very short-sighted move on my part, because you can wear them for about like 2 weeks, and then they look gauche.
They do look gauche. I had, for a long time, well, I don't know a long time, but I definitely had those USA colorway Dwayne Wade Converse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were so unbelievably uncomfortable that I just gave them away at one point. Like, they kept cutting into my heel, and, like, it was really uncomfortable.
I mean, Nike owns Converse, so I can't, as someone from Beaverton, I can't speak out against those shoes. But I hear you and will, you know, validate your concern.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it either did or didn't happen in your mind.
Either did, but you seem to think it happened, and you seem like a nice person.
Thank you. So,
the one reason I can wear the USA shoe is because I work with all these British people, and I sort of that in their face.
Anytime a British person has some kind of criticism about me on Twitter, I do just throw 1776 right in their face.
It shuts them right up.
Yeah.
I went to, we'll talk about it more later. I went to Europe earlier this summer, and I didn't buy it in time, but I was really thinking about getting a back-to-back World War Champs t-shirt and wearing that. To me,
that's the most American thing you could have
done. It's so American. And then I was talked out of it by a British coworker, because they were having like the it was like the 100th anniversary of the like Flanders Field, or like some battle where like a bunch of World War I battle where a bunch of British soldiers died.
And that would have been a great headline, though.
It would have been detained, kept. They put me in the Tower of London. Everybody would throw rotting fruit,
and
which
you
is the only
like,
kind of fruit they have.
Right. James would have been your only outlet, like the only way you make bail. Right? I don't even know if they have bail in English.
He would have had to break me out, and then. But I mean, talk about a charming getaway driver. I mean, we could go through all the hits.
Dangerous amount of cameras in that getaway drive. But
a lot of cameras. Yeah. I think we're definitely getting caught.
Right.
You know, but we're getting a couple million hits on YouTube, and that's what we've been taught really matters.
Yeah, that's all that counts.
Yeah.
I get patriotic about every event except for track and field.
Oh yeah,
track and field. I just want to see Usain Bolt win in an obnoxious manner. But then, other than that, like I hope US gets silver, and I hope we win every other medal, gold medal out there. But yeah, track and field's the only one where I'm just like, I just want to see the best.
Yeah, the 100 meter. I do too, just because it's like, it's so fun. It's you can't not understand it because it's just running. There's so many sports that I just full-blown don't get. Like water polo. Water polo. Water polo's been on TV a bunch, and like every time I watch it, I'm like, I don't get any part of this. I think they just score goals, but maybe there's other rules. Like soccer is on literally right now,
yeah.
And I mostly understand it. And then there's even weirder stuff like the shooting. Like, the thing we won the first gold medal in, how are you good at shooting? You just have really good aim?
Right.
How do you get better at that?
That's confusing to me as well, because, like, I get that there are people who are better at shooting than others.
Yes.
But to be at an Olympic level seems weird.
How? It does seem weird, right? It's like you'd think everyone would just be 10 good at it.
Right.
Everyone would get to 10, and then there's all these people who are 10 good at it. And then, like, the air conditioner turns on at the wrong time and you lose. Like, is that...
Now, if they had to do, like beer goggles to do it and correct it, that's a sport I can get behind as long as it's not live ammunition.
They should change it to like the police academy type thing where like a bad guy pops up and you shoot him and there's a target. But then it's like a baby, you know?
Yeah, and we don't know if Steve, shoot that. We don't know if Steve Guttenberg's available
right.
to officiate it.
I think he's available. I think you can get Guttenberg. Guttenberg follows me on Twitter. That's one of my favorite weird Twitter follows.
Okay, that's kind of a cool one.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll tweet something offensive or weird, and I'm like, oh.
I hope Guttenberg doesn't see
Am I letting Guttenberg down?
Tara Reid's mine.
Oh, wow, that is a weird one. Yeah. What is that from, like, just Sharknado tweets? No. Were you getting that? I have no idea.
No, this is before I – so, like, early on in the podcast, when I first started for CBS, like, maybe the first year, I would start off every podcast with Matt with a Tara Reid tweet that just – like, I would just read it. I would say, hey, Matt Moore, as Tara Reid says, and then, like, read some incomprehensible tweet of hers.
Yeah.
And it became, like – it didn't become a thing, but it, like, kind of became a
– It swept the nation.
It swept the nation. It swept, you know, dozen of followers who checked it out. And then on my birthday one year, someone said – like, tweeted her and said, hey, you know, Talk Hoops is a huge fan of yours. Can you wish him a happy birthday? And she wished me a happy birthday and then followed and has followed ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you stopped doing the Tara Reid tweet thing after that.
No, because I wasn't worried about her, like, downloading the podcast and listening.
Yeah.
It just kind of – it was just then a lot of, like, fans tweeting her, I love you, and her retweeting it. And it got kind of boring, and then I just forgot.
Has she ever faved or retweeted anything you tweeted since?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I love that. I don't think so, but some loyal listener – could go out and check her favorites.
I would love to see you speak on Rudy Gobert and just get that Tara Reid retweet on it.
You know, Rudy Gobert actually the last 4 months of the season defended 28% at the rim, which is just an insane level of defense. And then she's just like, yep, heart that.
Terry can't get enough of that. She loves people. She loves rim protectors.
Right, exactly. She loves French rim protectors, to be specific. It's kind
she's,
of
she
kind
still of wears her Lakers Roy Hibbert jersey. She still rocks it. Yeah, so Olympics, I like them. I sit and I'll watch any event, but I've had it with the water polo. It's been on so much, and I'm tired of it. I don't care, and they're all in great shape, and yeah. I'm not jealous, and that has nothing to do with it.
No, you're not jealous at all.
No.
No, no. I mean, you can relate to them on every level.
On every level. We'll all talk about how in the off season we have to stand outside of an Abercrombie and Fitch.
Right.
Legally. Just
legally,
our bodies are that good.
Yeah, no, that's you'll go to jail if you don't.
We won't. Yeah, it's a little like jury duty for really handsome guys.
Right. Yeah, it's something the ugly people can't relate to.
They could never relate to, and if they tried, they'd be sent to prison.
Right. Exactly. If you're ugly and you stand outside an Abercrombie and Fitch store for more than 4.5 seconds,
yeah.
It's a felony.
Keep moving, buddy.
Keep moving.
That's what all cops are originally for, was to keep you, the riffraff, from, you know, clogging the front of a Hollister and Abercrombie.
Right, exactly.
I will say, the patriotism around the Olympics is, I get it and I feel it fully, but when you think about it for even 5 seconds, it's ridiculous. Because it's like, you're like, yeah, we're the best at flipping. Nobody else in the world can flip like us. And if you're thinking about swimming faster than our fastest swimmer, think again, because you get her in a pool, and she's on the other side of it sooner than the person from the same country as you. It's very weird.
You're not getting within 9/10 of a second of her. Don't even think about it.
Yeah. 8/10, get out of here.
Right. You're drunk if you think you can get within 8/10 of a second of what
you're
she's doing.
And you shouldn't be allowed near a pool. It's like, because it's not particularly reflective of, like, any of our values, you know?
Right.
Other than possibly hard work. Like, you could make the argument that it's like hard work is like an American fact. But I think at this point, all of them kind of work the same.
Yeah, I feel like there are not a lot of lazy Olympians.
Yeah, no, except on the Venezuelan basketball team. I watched that game yesterday, and I don't think I've ever been more enchanted by a group of athletes before.
It's really amazing because they have no business being there. And I thought it was funny. This was funny to me, and I didn't dare tweet it out because I just didn't want Kobe fans, you know, just lighting up my mentions left and right.
Right.
But Kobe tweeted out that his first cousin, this guy John Cox, was doing, like, he was happy that John Cox on the Venezuelan team could go out there and show the world what he can do.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I wasn't really paying attention to the game, and I went and looked at the box score at that point. I was like, oh, maybe John Cox is like the reason they're kind of scrappy or whatever. And he had 19 points on 20 shots.
Oh my God.
And I was like, of course Kobe is appreciative of that kind of effort this late in his playing career or as a retiree, because like that was perfect to me.
The Venezuelan Mamba is out there doing
it. I was expecting like 35 points, just destroying, you know, hitting threes, getting the free throw. Like, no, 19 points on 6 of 20 shooting.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. As if it, there was any question that they were related. that's amazing. I didn't even see that box score. I loved that number 0. They're a big, fat center.
Oh, it's like Echenique? I hope I didn't pronounce that in an offensive way.
I think it's something like that. I'm not even going to try because I'm way more PC and thoughtful than you. I'm a better person, and I get it. But, no, I loved him. He was like a big – he was like a fatter Boris Diaw with a big beard. I loved him. I mean, he didn't play like Boris Diaw. He was just like a big dancing bear type dude.
Right. Yeah, he reminded me a lot of like end of the career LA Clippers Big Baby.
Yes!
But with a beard.
I saw Big Baby on a plane once, and it was like end of the career Big Baby. We were on the same flight. And that is a thick man.
He's a large man.
Yeah. I hesitate to throw the word fat out there because he's like a professional athlete. And
yeah, it's weird calling him fat, right? Because... like he's in way better shape than I am.
He's in amazing shape. He's just not in like in NBA shape.
He just doesn't look like Blake Griffin, right?
I flew like I fly a lot, so most of these stories. I flew on a flight with a Ndamukong Suh once.
Okay, he's a large man as well.
He's a giant man, the defensive tackle, and he was like way slimmer.
Really?
Than Big Baby Davis. Yeah.
One of the craziest things to me is I saw. This was early in like being in locker rooms, as I saw Amari Stoudemire and realized like this dude's what, like 6'9", 240, and he has like a 31-inch waist.
I remember hearing that story that he has like a waist. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and like that doesn't seem possible.
It seems wrong. It seems like your body wouldn't work.
Yeah, like that's a drawing you would turn in an art class and they're like, what are you doing? This isn't impressionism.
Right, you'd have to do it again. If you drew Amari Stoudemire for like a biology class, you'd fail that biology
class.
You'd
fail in a second.
Yeah, but you know, if you were studying for your bar mitzvah, perhaps a better score. I love that. I have to get Joe Mandy was tweeting about it the other day. I have to get an Amari Stoudemire jersey with the Hebrew on it for the team.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, whether it's. Maccabi or Hopel, or I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. Hopel?
I don't know which one. He co-owns it, so it's whatever team it is. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he co-owned a team. Oh, so that, yeah, he can probably at least get a tryout.
Yeah, I think they signed him. You saw, you saw that, right?
Because he's actually going to play now.
Amari Stoudemire signed with an Israeli basketball team.
I cover professional basketball for a living. I had no idea.
Not Israeli professional basketball.
No, apparently not. Fuck.
Yeah, that's... That's me and Joe Mandy's beat.
Yeah, you guys are the biggest minds in Israeli basketball coverage.
We're on the Ion Way Worse Basketball podcast that we're launching.
I have one complaint about. Well, I have two complaints about the Olympics.
Oh yeah.
One, I'm not really into the whole Michael Phelps thing.
Yeah, give it a rest, buddy. Move over.
Yeah. Also, I think it's ridiculous how many medals swimming gives out. That's mostly my problem with it. Like, I look at that, I look at what he's done, and I look at what Carmelo Anthony's done for basketball, and I just wonder, why is it different?
It shouldn't be. It's like if they gave out a gold medal for, like, chess passes.
Right. Like, all right, shoot a three from 22 feet. All right, now shoot a three from 24 feet.
Yeah.
Now do it with your left hand. All right, you're three-time gold medalist.
Right. Dunk off 2 feet. Yeah, it's like...
I realize there are 4 swimming fans that are furious right now with me, but that's kind of how I look at it. I think Carmelo Anthony's done just as much for his Olympic sport as Michael Phelps has done for his, and maybe that's ignorant, but that's how I feel.
I agree with you. Here's a thought about Carmelo Anthony. Outside of like the NBA, he has had an amazing career. Which is a weird thing to say about someone, but like three-time Olympian, probably three-time gold medal winner.
Yeah,
right?
He got a bronze in 2004, which is not his fault. That was Larry Brown's fault.
All right, 2004. So he's going to end up with
3 gold medals,
3 golds and a bronze, and then and then an NCAA championship in the 1 year he played in college.
He was like one of the highest recruited high school players, or the highest recruited high school player.
And then he was also in the NBA for
a and then he was in the NBA for a decade and a half.
He was in there getting, you know, playing well. But like he's such a winner in every other part of basketball. It's so interesting that his pro career has been, I think anyone would call it mediocre.
Yeah, it's weird because he's a superstar that doesn't like really perform as a superstar, even though he's like every team that faces him is so worried about Carmelo Anthony going off. Like he draws an obscene amount of attention from the defense, knowing that if they stop him, they'll stop his team. But it's still not considered widely, at least like with basketball junkies, especially like in the analytics age and all this stuff. Like he's not considered like one of the 5 to 10 greatest players in the league.
No.
Which is kind of insane to me because I kind of think he's there.
It's top 10, you'd think, right?
I mean, he was for a while. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely not anymore. But like there was a time where he was like the best scorer in the world. And he was a top 10 player and maybe even creeping towards top 5. And yet he'll never be remembered as that.
Never. But can you think of anyone else, an American-born player, who's had a career like that? Where they were just like so dominant in every part of basketball except the NBA.
Does Christian Laettner count?
No, because he went once. You know?
Right, yeah, he went like, once, and then he didn't really do anything.
And like Carmelo Anthony is like every time, at least you know, the previous two Olympics, they've been like, he's the perfect international basketball
player.
Right,
exactly.
You know? And he was amazing in college, and then just for some reason the NBA isn't, you know, it just isn't the same for him.
It's crazy because, like, in 40 years, we're going to look back at, like, record books. And it's going to be like, wow, Carmelo scored 25,000 points in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it will seem like it never happened.
I think he will be, you know, there's certain players who are remembered more fondly after their playing career than during their playing career. You're Ricky Davis's, for example.
Right, exactly.
I think he's definitely going to be one of them. I think there will be a revisionist history on Carmelo Anthony.
I hope so. I like him. I enjoy watching him play. I really like watching him play in person because he's like, at least he was a couple years ago, like he's kind of a bully. Like he's really physical with guys, and I don't think that comes through on TV as much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, no, that's like where you have to be down by the court to see that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of have to hear him smacking into people and on post-ups and everything. But he, like, I've always enjoyed watching him play, and I don't really like the way he's categorized now, but I also, like, I can't do a whole lot to argue with it because it is what it is.
People are right, by the way. They're right when they talk about him. But, but also an activist. One of the few real, like, NBA activists, especially as far as superstars go, you know? I mean, you have, like, Etan Thomas or whatever, but, like, right. As far as, like, you know, quote-unquote superstar, he's kind of the one, you know? Like, you know, other guy, LeBron will, you know, tweet or Instagram, you know, he'll do a little bit, but like Carmelo's like kind of really about that life. He's going to be an interesting post NBA player.
I could see him getting into a lot of businesses and either losing all of his money or flourishing like you can't believe.
God, I hope he flourishes. It's probably not. He might not. But I hope it's that one. What do you remember your other complaint about the Olympics before we went off on this diatribe?
Oh yeah, archery. I don't like how advanced the bows are or the staffs or whatever the hell they're called. It looks like a mousetrap game.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's definitely some sort of Rube Goldberg device that's now involved in archery. What?
I love archery. Well, I wouldn't say I love it. I'll watch it, and I'm kind of intrigued by like the whole competition of it all. But I just look at these things, and they're like adjusting sights, like it's a sniper rifle and everything.
Yeah,
like, that's too much for me. Like, just give. I'm old school when it comes to archery. Give me a wooden bow and one string, and let's see who can hit the target, Robin Hood.
You're a purist.
I'm a purist. Yeah,
you're a William Tell purist.
Right, exactly. Robin Hood is my George Mikan, and I want to see more posts for it.
You decry the death of the wooden bow.
I do. It's way more problematic than the death of the mid-range jumper in my mind.
So you're a big Wesley Matthews fan, just based on his celebrations.
Love the celebration.
Yeah, because during that celebration, if he like calibrated his fake bow,
right?
You're out, right?
I would hate him. I would buy every jersey he has and burn it.
Just burn it.
But he's not calibrating. He's just going old school bow and arrow.
He's full Legolas. He's going full. That's like he's pulling that bow out of the or the arrow out at the same time the bow's coming out.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. There's a lot of efficiency in the way he shoots that arrow.
That's some Age of Empires business. He's
right.
It is weird. Is there any other part of the world where people are using bows and arrows like that? Maybe hunters?
I don't know.
Is a hunting bow that advanced?
I thought hunters were using like AK-47s at this point and everything. Like I don't really know that they're. There's no. I would figure you'd use a crossbow before you use one of those.
There are definitely bow hunters. There are people who are like, I hunt with a bow and arrow because I'm even more masculine than these other people. And I wonder how advanced their bows are. Archery's weird because like there's all the people who are good at it, and then Gina Davis and Bo Jackson are also very into it. There's no other Olympic fringe sport that has like weird celebrity endorsers too.
Right, like all of a sudden Kevin Spacey's like, "Hey, archery this weekend."
Yeah. Spacey's heading over to Gina's house. They're meeting up with Bo Jackson and Thurman Thomas, and they're all going to shoot bows and arrows.
And you know what? Gina holds her own.
Gina's like an amazing archer, right?
I hope that's not a sexist thing to say, but she holds her own.
Gina Davis is probably the best archer out of all of them.
Do we need co-ed archery? Is that an ignorant thing to ask?
I need it. That is a weird sport that's divided by the sexes.
Right.
That would make some of these Olympic events more interesting. There's got to be ones that don't need to be separated by gender. Archery, target shooting, basketball. You know, there's like a lot of them that could be.
I kind of could dig an idea. I was kicking this around with Matt and James, Herbert, not Corden.
Corden wasn't sitting in on the podcast?
No, he wasn't. I mean, we were texting, but I didn't really throw this idea by him.
Oh, definitely.
Of like, what if it was co-ed? What if it was half women, half men for the roster? So you have like Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner and Simone Augustus and Maya Moore and Ella Delladon with like LeBron and Durant and James Harden and Anthony Davis. Like I was trying to come up with like the perfect mix of team.
Oh
and
my God.
Why, like how you maximize a roster. Do you go like women point guards to kind of facilitate and everything and to spot up shooting? And while you like, you wouldn't use Steph Curry because you would want to have like the athletic strong wings and
forwards right,
out there to like really overpower. And I was trying to come up with like this perfect blend of team. And James and Matt were just like, I don't know.
No, that's a fun thought experiment.
I hate ranking like, oh, let's rank our top 10 point guards. Like, I hate that, but I was very interested in this idea of like, what would be the ideal co-ed USA basketball team?
Yeah, it would probably, if you go 6-6, you'd want like backcourt players.
That's what I was thinking, basketball.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of tall ones just to make sure you're dominating the female players from the other countries.
Right.
But yeah, like that to me, that's another way for U.S. domination. I'm in.
I love Elena Delavan. We're going to get married. Hopefully.
Well, I feel like that's out now.
We're definitely getting married.
I've got some tough news for you.
She and I are in love.
I don't feel like you are. I'm not calling you a liar.
What?
I'm not saying your feelings aren't true.
Oh.
I just don't know that you're great at reading the situation.
All right. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see you at the wedding, Zach.
Okay. I would love to give you away.
I love her so much.
Yeah. No, she's amazing. She's really fun to watch play basketball.
I really do. Can we? I mean, I don't think I'm going to run into any static from you on this one. The WNBA is actually kind of fun to watch, and I have to apologize for clowning on it for so many years.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were probably really stupid about it for a long time because it was like, oh, women playing basketball, that's dumb. And, like, it's actually – it's turned into a very fun league.
It's fun. It can't, like, it'll come on at the gym and, like, on TV, and I'm just like, oh, this is, like, actually good. I'll say this. I would rather watch, like, a WNBA game than, like, Venezuela versus Australia.
Sure.
You know, I really would.
It's kind of cool, or more connected to me too, for a cool reason. Because like Jim Peterson, who's the Wolves' color commentator, is an assistant coach for the Minnesota Lynx.
Oh, that's great.
So like he's a three-time champion now. Like they've dominated over the last like 4 or 5 years, and so getting to see his success in that, and he almost got a head coaching job somewhere else in the WNBA because of it. I believe it could have been his if he had wanted it. But like seeing like his kind of profile or whatever raised by that as well is like a cool connection for me. So I really enjoy seeing him prosper in that, and it probably helps that the team he coaches or is the assistant coach for is like the best in the league. But that's for me that's made me more interested in it as well.
It made me definitely. I mean, it's always good to have that access point. I wish Portland still had a team. I tried to find, and this is, you know, we can shame the internet here. I tried to go buy a Deladon basketball jersey.
Yeah.
Like for like an Olympic basketball jersey or like a Sue Bird one, and they only had them in women's sizes.
Oh.
I thought that would have been a fun look. I ended up getting a Boogie Cousins one instead. But like it would have been fun to rock like a US Olympic like Sue Bird jersey. That'd be a fun look, I think.
My friend has a Maya Moore jersey that he wears. Like he's an actual like Lynx fan and really enjoys the team and goes to games and stuff, and I think I was there when he bought it because we went to a game. I will say the one problem with WNBA games is they do kind of have to like play to kids a lot more. And so like one of the games I went to in Minnesota, it was like kids day. It was like a middle of the day. It was like a 2 p.m. game or like a 12:30 game or something like that. And there were like a lot of school groups there. So it was like a lot of annoying kids screaming and stuff. So that was like my only bad experience with it.
Is there anything worse than kids that you don't have an investment in?
No, I wouldn't say I dislike all kids that aren't related to me, but a good number of them.
When I was in Europe, I went to, like, I thought it was maybe just the way, like, Americans raise their kids or something like that, but I went to, like, a bunch of museums, and it was kind of the same thing. You know, they're doing, like, school trips to these museums, there's kids all over the place, and it just ruined everything. Like, not full. I'm not like some, like, grumpy person. But, like, you'd be, like, staring at, like, some, you know, 7,500-year-old artifact, you know. And then, like, two kids would run in front of you and, like, get in a wrestling match, you know, and start crying. And you'd have to be like, all right, let's move on to the next room.
Let's find the next one.
Yeah, and it would happen again in there. And, like, some kid, like, I'd be walking and they'd just, like, walk right in my way. And now it's my responsibility not to kill them with my giant legs, you know?
In Europe, do they put the leash on the kid on the other side of the body? Or is that just an American thing?
The leash in Europe is government socialism, all right? Not to get back into this whole Trump thing that I was talking about earlier, but no. I didn't see any leashes there. It made me miss the leash. Get that kid on a leash.
Yeah, you got to have kids on the leash. How was your time in Europe? Did you have a good time? How long were you there?
I was over there for 2 weeks. It was the first non-stand-up vacation I've ever taken in my life.
That sounds very adult.
Well, I guess I've taken them as kids, but it was a very adult trip. Not like adult like Cinemax after 11. But
right, not like Amsterdam.
Yeah, although I did go to Amsterdam.
Okay, so
I had a very tame time in Amsterdam.
Okay.
But I was in London, Amsterdam, and Paris, and it was amazing. But it also took a lot of the mysticism out of those places. Like, I thought I was going to go to London, and everyone was going to be, like, very intelligent and critical of the U.S. foreign policy. And, you know, like, everyone would have, like, an education, and they'd be, like, smarter than me. And you go over there, and the country's full of drunk idiots just like everywhere else.
It was just – it's either high scholars or just chimney sweeps.
Yeah. We just get there. It's like if you just learned about the U.S. through – like we learn about England through like the actors and some of the academics.
Right.
You know?
If you ask me to explain the whole Brexit thing, which I'm not even convinced I'm saying correctly, it would be one of the most embarrassing things I could do.
Oh, yeah. Me too. And I read a lot about it. I couldn't really – they left the European Union. That's what I know.
There's probably a European Union, so I agree with that.
There's definitely a European Union, and they left it, and it was fueled by certain people in that country's desire to no longer take in refugees and immigrants.
Oh.
From anti-Islamic fears. What I think is the main thing that – but again, somebody could be listening to this and like –
just like offended that you would think that that was the reason.
Think I'm a complete idiot. There's right. also a justification was that they didn't want England to be tied to the rest of Europe economically.
Right.
Even though I think that has proven to be a fairly smart plan for most of the countries in Europe. And then there was some criticism of Listen, I don't understand it at all.
Of Hugh Grant. I think Hugh Grant was like...
It's Grant-based, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of Hugh Grant-based. They're not really all that happy with the second part of his career.
Yeah, they were cool the first three weddings, but the fourth one and the funeral, they had had...
Right, and like the first 7 months with Julianne Moore, they were good.
Right.
The last two, not so much.
No good. And then a third Hugh Grant movie.
I think this is the first basketball podcast to ever make a Galooly and 9 months reference.
Definitely. Oh, no. Partnow did one the other day.
Oh, yeah. Seth is big on the 9 months and Galooly references.
It was analytics. He was saying that this year the Warriors are hoping to have babies born in 7.5 months.
By the way, there's a Twitter account I recently discovered. And by discovered, I mean it was retweeted into my timeline, and then I liked it.
You discovered it the same way we discovered America.
Right. I feel very Columbus-like right now without the genocide. It's useless comparisons or something like that.
And I love that.
Yeah, and so it's like the other day, like yesterday they had Will Smith Rotten Tomatoes scores versus Josh Smith 2K, NBA 2K ratings.
That's funny.
And it's great. It's just a fat... they had like Alan Crabb, his money versus like what like a crabbing ship would get or something like that. Like it's a very... I recommend checking it out.
Oh, I just followed it. They have a... the pimp tweet is Hakeem Olajuwon blocks versus Tim Kawakami blocks. This is so funny.
It's a great account.
Hakeem, 3,830 blocked shots. Kawakami, 6,421 blocked Twitter users.
Wow.
Dang, he's got a quick block finger.
Yeah, he's one of the best at it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good. What was your favorite part of Europe? We're running long, so I apologize for taking up so much
time. Not at all. No, I got nothing to do. I was arguing with the Second Amendment fanatics on Twitter.
This is a nice reprieve for you. what was your favorite part of Europe, if that's even a question that can be answered?
I think it was Amsterdam.
Okay.
I walked through the red light district, but that is not my scene, man. Like, but the city is so cute. There's no better way to describe it. Like, there's all these like beautiful canals, and there's like flowers lining them. And, like, people, like, tall, beautiful, blonde people riding around on bicycles. And, like, the coffee shops that sell legal marijuana are a lot of fun. And I may have visited them. And then the normal coffee shops are great, too. That you go and have, like, a cappuccino and just sit there. It was just very peaceful and wonderful. It reminded me of, like, Portland, but if Portland had history.
Okay. Like,
and it, so, like, I really liked it there. Paris was cool, but Paris is like a very busy, dirty city, and the people there aren't super rude, but they're not stoked that you're American.
Yeah, you know? I've been to Paris. I went to Paris for like almost a week once, and I loved it. It is very like it was this weird feeling that hit me at one point, because like I remember the first time I went to Boston, I'm like going like walking these trails and all this stuff of like all this American history. And it's like, wow, 250 years ago, this happened in this spot or whatever. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And then I was in a bar in Paris that was in like a 12th century dungeon.
Yeah.
And that's and that was the moment where I was like, oh, right. Like some places have actual big time history
in Paris that have 250 years left on them. Cause some before their meter ran out. Like that city is crazy old, and right. It's super fun. But I think, I mean, speaking of Boston, what I thought you were going to say is when you visit Boston, you go in with an expectation of the people, thinking they're going to be like rude and brash, and maybe that affects how you act. And that definitely happened with me going to Paris, thinking they were going to be like very rude and Parisian. And then they weren't as much as I thought. And then I'm like, oh, they're really nice. And then I realized, oh, no, they're still kind of rude. They're just not as rude as I thought they were going
to
be.
Right. There was this one, like, kind of middle-aged guy at this cafe that I went to, I think, every morning, who, like, just was so angry at my existence, and I had no idea why. I think just because I was American. But then someone, like, kind of tipped me off of saying, look, no one really cares that you can't speak French, because it gives a lot of the younger people a chance to practice their English by talking with you.
Yeah.
And that kind of like relaxed me a little bit and made like the interactions a lot more fun. And I could read French decently. I couldn't really speak it anymore. or like at least formulate sentences or whatever. But like like that aspect, I was pleasantly surprised at how accommodating everyone was there, because I'm gonna guess I wasn't the first stupid American tourist to visit and not speak French.
No, all the way back to the 40s, I think.
Right, yeah, no, 1943 was the first time that happened.
A bunch of stupid Americans showed up.
Right, and then there was a 40-year absence, and then and then it started happening again.
The Louvre, though, I mean, the Louvre, there's nothing else like it on Earth. When you're at the museums in, like, France and London, like, they have the National Museum in London and then the Louvre in France, they're amazing. And then you have to remind yourself that all of this amazing stuff has been, like, stolen. The only reason they have it is because for a long time it was, like, okay to steal things from other countries. And, like, it's this weird mix of feeling guilty about it, but also, like, grateful that all this stuff is in one place.
Yeah, it is very conflicting, because it's like, oh, cool, I'm happy someone stole this and put it in here so that I can look at it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'd have to spend a lot of money going all over the place. But then, like, I don't know. How many people died so that this stuff could be in this room?
So many.
A lot.
And the country doesn't have any more. But at the same time, it's like, well, I'm glad I don't have to go to Iraq.
Right, exactly.
This ancient, you know, Assyrian statue.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So shout out to poachers.
Shout out to the ancient thieves of the past. Thank you very much for your misdeeds.
And shout out to Assassin's Creed. So that's where I learned about all of them.
Yeah.
And that video game franchise.
Big shout out to Assassin's Creed, because who doesn't want to steer a pirate ship with a hood on?
Exactly. That's really what we're all here to do.
That's one of the later Assassin's Creed references.
Ian, this has been just lovely, as it was the first time.
A delightful little summer discussion.
A delightful summer discussion. We can follow you on Twitter, at Ian Carmel. I guess if you're in Portland next weekend, go see you.
Oh, yeah. I'll be at the Revolution Hall on the 12th. Come out and see it. Or, you know, if you're not in Portland, fly in. It's going to be a great show. I have an 8-minute joke about Shaquille O'Neal up in here.
Okay, I'm excited to... Well, I won't be there to hear it, but I'm assuming it'll be on a comedy album.
It'll be on my next album and also on the season of Meltdown on TV, Comedy Central.
That sounds great. Ian Carmel, at Ian Carmel on Twitter. That's Carmel with a K.
Yup.
And watch The Late Late Show on the fabulous CBS network.
Yeah, watch The Late Late Show.